with Greg Bell of Tacoma News Tribune. Brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. Come watch all 2019 Hawk Road games live with Softy in the I-5 showroom at the EQC. Now with Greg Bell, here's Chuck and Buck.
Little 12th man news at 7 with Greg Bell, our Seahawks insider, joins us every day at this time. And we always spend time on Wednesday ramping up the preview for the next opponent. And the next opponent brings a little special ingredient this week, which we will get to in a moment. But I don't think that's where we'll start, Greg. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Hi, guys. I bet I know where we're going to start.
Yeah, I want to know what you think about this Jalen Ramsey trade to the Rams and what it might do for the NFC West.
Well, it's a two-pronged trade, right? Because they traded Marcus Peters, and Marcus Peters becomes traded again after Andy Reid gave up on him in Kansas City after 2 years. The Rams get him for 2 years, and then Sean McVay gives up on him, too. High-risk, high-reward cornerback, who now goes to the team that the Seahawks happen to be playing in this weekend. So this will be the second time in 3 weeks the Seahawks will play him. I think he's going to play, even though it's only three practices since the trade. I was doing all the research on that. The Seahawks are 9-13 in the last three games they played against Peters as a Ram. 9-13 passing. And there's a couple game film things I couldn't tell who was actually targeted, so it could be a little more than that. But 9-13 with three touchdown passes, 168 yards. They've beaten him on double moves. They've beaten him on changing Tyler Lockett's favorite route. I think I talked about that a couple weeks ago, and getting Peters to bite hard. So they are going to target him again, at least a couple moves in his aggressiveness on Sunday for the immediacy. But then he's out of the NFC West for they won't play him until another 4 years when they play Baltimore, and by then he may have signed in free agency with someone else. Jalen Ramsey, that's a price. Two first-round picks and a second-round pick the Seahawks were never going to pay, for all those who were wondering if the Seahawks were in that derby. And the Rams have shown, this is now I think the fourth year in a row, that they will go without a first-round pick. And they have shown that they will trade for talent now at the expense of top-of-the-draft talent later. And they got what they believe is the best cornerback in the league. I'm not sure he's worth that draft capital, but if you're trying to win now and keep your season intact, you do something like this. They obviously think, the Rams, that they still have a shell of a team, a nucleus of talent, to go back to the Super Bowl right now. And that's why they make a move like this, and they've lost three in a row. And I don't think, however, that defense is the Rams' problem. I think it's Todd Gurley.
Gee, a lot more moves in the NFL as far as trades go than I'm used to. Do you think there's any chance the Seahawks get in this game?
Well, again, it's the same thing if it's the right price. I don't think the Seahawks make the Clowney trade if it wasn't for a bag of balls. And it would take that kind of concession from a team and a guy in a contract situation, for instance, his contract ending, that to do that. And other than short of that, I don't see the Seahawks making moves. I see the Seahawks calling around and finding out if they can somehow get a cheap bargain deal. I don't expect a move, but they are always in, as Pete Carroll loves to tell everybody, and asking them what might be available.
What position might they target, if anything?
Well, they could still go with the pass rush and defensive line depth in general, even though that's where their last two big splashes have been with Clowney and Ansa. Defensive secondary help. I would think, okay, at wide receiver, I see A.J. Green's name thrown around a lot. First, he's expensive, and two, he's hurt all the time. But wide receiver, I don't think this team needs. With the rotation it has and the production it's gotten out of the guys it has, that would have to be even less of a cost than it was for Clowney to get a guy like that.
Gee, the Ravens this week come into town, and they're carrying a familiar face in Earl Thomas. What do you think his reception is going to be like when he comes into town?
I think that he'll be well received. I think he's going to get a huge ovation, and I think he should. I think the end game in the last year or so, and the finger on the back of a cart in Arizona – is not at all indicative of what he did to the program, for the city, and being a centerpiece to a Super Bowl champion, the only one this franchise has ever had, being the best player at his position for the highest time of the franchise's history. I think he's going to get lauded for that. And I think he'll someday, as I've said before, he's going to be in the Ring of Honor and will be, I think, a Hall of Fame player that will be a Seattle Seahawk in Canton. I think that's what's going to end up being, regardless of how it goes Sunday and how it went at the end of the time here. It was a strictly cold business decision. And the thing that made Thomas unique all the time is he didn't care what he said, what he thought, or what people knew about him. He was genuine, and his genuine desire to be the highest paid safety in the league is what made it so acrimonious at the end. If anyone would boo him Sunday, they're pretty short-sighted and not appreciating what he did for them in the big picture.
Our Seahawks insider Greg Bell with us here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. And, you know, I wanted Earl Thomas to remain a Seahawk, but it had gotten to the point, and I'd heard enough on the air, off the air, that they had to go their separate ways. The finger was sort of the final straw there.
Yeah, he was already gone before that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why Thomas did that.
But it obviously has made the Seahawks, whether they're 5-1 or not, weaker at the safety position. That still seems to be an area that they have not figured out at this point.
Three safeties played in the four safeties played in the first half in Cleveland. Tedrick Thompson sat for two series while Lano Hill played one, and then Marquise Blair came almost out of nowhere. We saw him come on the field, and in the press box we all joked, oh, there's Marquise Blair. Remember him? And Carroll has said Lano Hill deserves – how he played the two games that Thompson missed because of a hamstring injury that Lano Hill has deserved to play. And they really do want to see what Marquise Blair can do in a real game, because of how good he was in the preseason game, the very first one in August, before he got the hip pointer and then back injuries that cost him all of August. So they drafted him in the second round to play him, not to have him as an inactive or watching games. Thompson, though, responds after benched for two series with an interception. He made a really nice diving play on the ball that Shaquille Griffin challenged Jarvis Landry in the end zone, tips it straight up in the air, and Thompson comes over. That wasn't his man. He came over off his man in the back of the end zone and makes a diving interception to keep the Seahawks only down one score. It's plays like that is why he's still on the field now. He's made a couple big plays the last three games, including the Rams game, the interception late in that one. And Carroll wants to reward performance. So he's juggling things there to try to give everybody time, yet Thompson's remaining the starter for now. I wouldn't be surprised if that rotation continues on Sunday, but I think eventually Marquise Blair is going to be the starter. His route to starting has been delayed by missing that month with injuries.
Gee, how in the heck are the Seahawks going to combat Lamar Jackson and his mobility? And do you think they have a little bit of a leg up on the rest of the league, considering they're used to watching Russell Wilson?
Well, I don't think the Russell Wilson factor matters too much. It's not like Wilson's running around in practices and they're trying to tackle him. He's hands off completely. So what's interesting about this game, we've been talking, and Jadeveon Clowney's been so focused on the sack numbers and getting more sacks, and I got to get to the quarterback. He's in a contract year, and the only way he's going to get paid is to get sacks. Well, this game, he can't just go try to get sacks. He's got to rush from outside in and have a contained mindset, or else Jackson will run outside of him to extend plays and run down the field on him. Now, Jackson runs up the middle quite a bit, too, and a lot of his plays are design runs. But this isn't a game for the defensive ends to pin their ears back and come after the quarterback, or else they're going to give up big chunk plays of the quarterback running past them. So as much as they're trying to get pressure and get more sacks, and have been talking about it, and have only 10 on the year, 26th in the league, they can't just go after the quarterback. They've got to do it with containment this week, and that's different. That's unlike any quarterback they've had the last couple of years have to play, and that will be a lot different for the defensive ends in particular. So it's interesting that they have to balance their need and want to get the quarterback to the ground with doing it with prudence rather than aggressiveness. It's hard for a defensive end to play to pass rush that way. They want to run up the field as fast as they can and sprint in a straight line at the quarterback, and if they do that, they're going to lose the game on Sunday.
What did you think of Cason Williams and Keenan Reynolds being drafted in the XFL yesterday.
I think it was a smart move by the Seahawks, the Dragons, I think they're called now, and Jim Zorn to get his Seattle guys to the team, and that's a smart move anyway. But good for them, and I was not at all surprised to see Kason Williams resurface because of his size. I wouldn't be surprised if it, maybe not Seattle's team, but some XFL team tries Keenan Reynolds at quarterback in that league, and as he was so great at it at the Navy and running the ball mainly. I'm not sure there's going to be an XFL team running the Navy triple option, but he may get a chance, Reynolds, at quarterback in that league.
You can hear the pain, can't you, Bucky, and Greg Bell's voice when he compliments a Navy man? It's got to hurt a little bit.
I spat it out a little bit. All-time winning, all-time touchdown leader in college football history while he was at Navy, Keenan Reynolds.
Well, good for you. You doubled down on your compliments for the Navy guy. That shows a lot of progress, Greg.
To the player, not the school.
All right. Thank you, man. We appreciate it. We will talk to you tomorrow. We will see you tomorrow for the 12th Man Roundtable.
You will. Thanks, guys.
All right. There's our Seahawks insider, Greg Bell of the News Tribune. 12th Man News at 7 is brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. Watch all 2019 Hawk Road games, should you prefer, live with David Softy Mahler in the I-5 showroom at the EQC. Keep hearing about this Softy Mahler character. You met him?
I have.
Have you?
I have. And the character
decent
is a great guy, actually.
Oh,
great guy.
Doesn't sound like it.
Character is a perfect way to describe him, though. Yeah, he is a character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tall man?
Nope.
No,
the opposite
not tall.
Of that. Yeah. Opposite of tall.
He found somebody's Oregon duct tape, by the way, on his poster.
Don't know what happened there.
Didn't go over well, from what I hear.
I guess not.
Not going to implicate anybody, but there's some shenanigans.
Some shenanigans going on in the office?
Let's just put it this way. I've been forced to look the other way.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up on our program, we are going to talk about something here in Seattle that has grabbed headlines, and for all the wrong reasons. Sports Radio 950 KJ. Your podcast.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Chuck and Buck, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Welcome in here on a hump day Wednesday. Our Ravens preview it's already underway. More on that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Also coming up later on the show, we will play the W game. Went over really well. Tested really well here in Seattle. Even better, I hear, in Portland and Eugene.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oregon people loved it for some reason.
I don't believe that to be true.
Couldn't get enough of it.
I think they probably did get a lot too much of it.
By the way, they're eligible for the prize, just the same as Seattleites.
Yeah.
And we're not leaving anybody out.
I think once you said...
And we're being so warm and inviting for everybody.
The classic game of 2016, I'm pretty sure most Duck fans, like, beep, channel change.
Oh, it is a classic.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, 70 points, that's quite a performance.
It doesn't make it a classic. Yeah. It makes it a blowout.
Or 10 touchdowns.
It was bugly.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to play again today. And I'm going to tell you right now when we're going to play, 8:45.
Oh.
So if you're like, what are you talking about? We have a prize package to give away. You're not going to get anything this good for Christmas. I promise. It's just you can ask all you want. You can ask Santa. You can ask the wife. Nobody's coming through like KJR is going to come through for you.
Mm.
But the prize is so good that we had to make you earn it. But we've got tickets to the Dogs Ducks on Saturday. And then we have tickets same day in the evening to see the Who.
Wow, so that's a nice little Saturday.
That's a great Saturday. And then all you got to do is sprinkle in a couple of meals.
Maybe some Bed Bath & Beyond.
Maybe.
Home Depot?
Home Depot? I don't know.
Some stretching.
Stretch and flex. Yeah. Gotta do that.
And you got yourself pretty much a perfect Saturday. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So we will play at 8:45 today, the W game. The W game is where I supply for you. This is how kind I am. The when, the where, the what, and the why, and all you've got to come up with is the who. That's all you got to come up with.
That's so clever.
So a trivia question coming your way today at 8:45 that will qualify you for this remarkable prize we're giving away today on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings. Well, we're giving it away on Friday.
Yeah.
And when I say qualify, we will have four qualifiers by the time we hit Friday, and then we'll have one lucky winner out of that grouping that will get the prize package. So that's, again, coming your way at 8:45 today, so don't miss that. Mario Bailey's also going to join us to talk crap about the Ducks at 9 o'clock.
Whoa!
So that's coming your way as well. And the XFL draft is going on as we speak. I kind of like the way they've done this. They're doing the backfield this morning. So Tony Softly, the Fighting Softlys, are back at it this morning, and they've already drafted Javonte Dean, a cornerback out of Miami. He's going to be spectacular for the Fire Breathers.
Oh, the Fire Breathers. I like it.
Yeah.
Yes, I've loved this team forever.
So we'll keep you up to date.
Go Anything Dragons.
Really interesting happens, we will let you know. Something interesting certainly happened last night. It pushed Seattle into the headlines, maybe unwantingly, maybe kicking and screaming. But nevertheless, a new distinction for the Seattle Mariners baseball organization, Bucky, an organization you've been a part of in the past. You hit home runs for the Magic Nine.
Yeah. Yes, it was a wonderful, wonderful month and a half.
Yeah. Well, last night, you can't hold any responsibility for 40-plus years of not making it to the World Series. I won't let you. I won't let you carry any of that burden. Not even a fraction.
Not even a
it's
fraction.
It's your fault.
Not even a fraction
well,
of
I don't,
that burden.
I don't blame myself very much.
I'm saying not at all.
Not at all.
You're
not
off
even
the
a...
hook entirely.
Okay. All right. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, you did your job in those in that time.
It's very true. Had we not already had a nice head start towards 100 losses, we might have done something decent that second half. But, yeah, I'm more tortured just as a fan.
Yeah.
I was a fan long, long, long before I became a Mariner, and I'm going to be a fan long afterwards. And it just sucks to be the only person left on the island.
Yeah, one person left
I'm
on
lonely.
No World Series island.
Yeah, you know? I don't have the imagination.
And I think the Nationals even took all the rum.
Did they really?
Yeah. They not only got on the ship, they took all the rum.
Why is the rum gone?
I'll tell you, that is a weakness. That is a weakness on a Seattle part, because if I was the only person, they would not leave with the rum.
We were all like, well, at least Keira Knightley's still here. Keira? Keira? And she's waving to us from the Nationals boat.
Oh, no.
They took Keira Knightley and all the rum.
Oh. God. So, well, where the rum goes, Keira goes. We know
way
this.
Worse. It's way worse.
So here we are on Never Made It to the World Series Island, all alone, having to invent fire. The Nationals took the recipe for that as well. They were always the fire starters.
Like Robinson Crusoe, it's primitive as can be.
Yeah, it's primitive as can be. And I think you got to laugh, otherwise you'll cry.
Yes.
I decided to wear my Mariner jacket today, so I'm flying the sigil. I'm flying the colors today, because I know that better days are ahead. I know the streak's going to end at some point for this city. I know that you are going to be excited no matter how much you poo-poo this organization right now. This is a summer town. There's nothing like the ride that the Washington Nationals are going on, and Seattle will do it as well as any city out there, maybe shy of Chicago. They got pretty crazy.
Yeah.
They had 100 years. They had double the amount of frustration that Seattle fans have. But it will be a great ride. It'll be joyous, and you're all welcome back on the bandwagon when the time occurs. But, you know, it's painful today, and it's painful for a lot of Mariner fans to have that distinction of the only Major League Baseball team to never have a World Series appearance.
It's rough. It's really rough. I'll say this, and this is something that, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can understand it, because it takes all different kinds of forms, but we were talking about the 40 games that I got to play. That short little time. What made that so sweet was the fact that it took me 8 years to get there. And 8 years, there's a lot. I mean, I have a lot of buddies who came and gone. Their career was over in a year or 2 years. Maybe it went 3 years or 4 years. Maybe they stalled out at AA. It started getting to the point in my career where I started thinking, man, maybe it's not going to happen. You know, as you start getting older, 27, 28, they're looking for kids that are going to be 21, 22 years old, 23 years old, making it into the big league so that they can play 10 plus years for them.
Yep.
You start getting up there in years, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. The only reason I'm bringing up my part of it is it was that much sweeter. I'm telling you, when you have to go through rough times, the manager for the Nationals, what's his name again? Dave Martinez. He said yesterday in the post-game conference, he was getting interviewed on the field there, and he said sometimes bumpy roads lead to the most beautiful places.
Yeah.
And that is very true. And so as Mariner fans, we can kind of understand what that feels like. We've been on a 40-year bumpy road, right? Yeah. A little one-laid. There's muddy spots. There's branches that you have to get out and move out of the way. It's very bumpy. It hasn't been a real fun ride, but I have a feeling that it is going to make it that much sweeter. For everybody that's going through kind of a little bit of pain, almost embarrassment, you're kind of like, oh, man, really? We're the only ones? Not now we have the longest streak of no playoff at 18, 19 years, and now we're the only team that's never made it to the finals, to the World Series. It sucks. But at the same time, that is going to feel that much better when that T-Mobile Park over there is rocking and rolling, when they do make it to the playoffs. That's going to be step one. If they end up winning a couple series and end up getting a berth and getting that feeling that D.C. has right now, I can't imagine. I told you guys before, when I was at the Pearl Jam concert, and I was looking back at the state, I was down on the field, and I'm looking at the stadium, and I'm like, just make the playoffs, please. Make the playoffs. Make a run in the playoffs, because I want this feeling. I want this atmosphere around a baseball game.
Yeah. Well, no question, and I agree with that. I think it will be that much sweeter because it tastes so sour right now. And I would just say this. I mean, again, case study, the Washington Nationals, and I realize that they've spent money, but they've also been a team that's been in contention for about a decade, and so they're like, okay, it's kind of like the Rams did yesterday. Our chips are in.
Mm-hmm.
So we just keep trying to add that right piece or that right wrinkle. But again, it begins with, I mean, granted, they had some high draft picks. They got lower than what the Mariners have gotten in recent years. When the Mariners had number one overall draft picks,
mm-hmm.
they did pretty well getting A-Rod and Griffey.
Griffey.
You know, the Washington Nationals had Harper and Strasburg. Rendon was a top 10 pick, you know. They traded for Trey Turner, who was a top, I think he was 13th overall.
13th, 15th.
Used one of their prospects to go and get him. So, again, you're looking at a team that pretty much was built from within. They even had Lucas Giolito at one point, packaged him with Reynaldo Lopez and Dane Dunning, probably going to be 3/5 of a good White Sox rotation going forward for Adam Eaton, who's average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they've even made bad trades. But there was an aggression. They had an aggression about getting where they wanted to go, but it all started with having those pieces to either play or to use in trades to bring in guys that could get you over the top. Now, they spent money too, but that's got to be a part of Jerry DePoto's thinking. Started with the farm, get the pieces in place, and then, especially if you're going to try to turn this thing around in 2 years like you're trying to sell us, you better be ready to spend some money. And I say this year. This idea that we're not going to do anything this offseason, I think is folly.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to spend a little bit this year. You got to start, you know, filling in a couple of those potholes on that bumpy road Dave Martinez was talking about.
Right.
You don't have to go all in this year. But then by next year, if you're really telling us, or you're truly, really trying to convince us you're going to try to win by 2021, then you're even more aggressive the following year. But it's a combination of all things, but it all starts with developing the prospects. And I will just say this, for all those people that want to poo-poo the Mariners, especially on this day, at least we're 1 year ahead of it. You know, at least we're not deciding now.
Right.
At least we've got the process going. And by the way, year one of this rebuild was a success.
Very much so.
I don't care what you thought of the on-field product this year. This team went from having the last place farm system in Major League Baseball to top 10 in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And those ranking systems, it's not science, but they matter. They usually have an impact.
Sure.
I mean, the Chicago Cubs, when everybody was telling us about Javier Baez and Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber, you didn't know any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? That foundation won a World Series. Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts.
Right.
Jackie Bradley Jr., you didn't heard of any of those guys.
Right.
That was the foundation to a World Series champion.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the Washington Nationals, Anthony Rendon, Trey Turner, Steven Strasburg, that's the foundation to a National League championship team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what has to develop. Whether Jerry DePoto will pull it off because he's got a lot of work to do. I don't know. I can't vouch for him. But he's doing the right things
right.
to get there. And, you know, I hope that it happens in the time period that they're selling us.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to happen at all, but it's the right vision.
The plan is there. Whether or not you can execute the plan is a different thing. I mean, I guarantee every time they call in a play, Schottenheimer or any offensive coordinator, they're like, this is awesome. Now you just have to execute. You have to execute and take advantage of any sort of mistake someone else makes. So I tend to believe in it for one reason only, because it couldn't have been easy. I'm sure it was a year ago for sure that they started this rebuild process and kind of said that they put the plan in motion. But I'm pretty sure it was halfway through last year, not this past season, but the season before, when they realized not only are we not a contender for the World Series, we're really not even that close, even though it feels like it at the end of the year when you're only a few games out, a couple years in a row, of making a wild card. We're still not that close to being anywhere near what the Astros are, or anywhere near even some of the teams like the Rays and the A's and some of these teams that were on the up and coming. So it was kind of one of those, we can't just keep trying to do it the old way and catch up to these people. We have to actually tear it down a little bit and start over. And that kind of admitting, getting over the denial factor of, wow, look how close we are, that is a step in the right direction. That is a huge step and a difficult step that Jerry DePoto has taken a backlashing. There's been a ton of Seattle fans, Mariner fans, that have said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired of it. You are not doing anything for us. We deserve more through all these 40 years of futility that we've had to go through. And he says, you know what? I'm sorry, it's not going to make you happy. You outlined it perfectly. Seven things you're going to have to do that's going to make the Mariner fan uncomfortable. Well, Jerry DePoto's went down that road, and it hasn't been happy, and it hasn't been ceremonious. But he's doing it, and it's a right plan, and I do believe that he does know what the heck he's doing. Now, the players have to pan out. The Kelnick has to come to fruition. Those kind of guys, right? J-Rod, he has to come to fruition. And then he has to hit in the draft as well. But I think the plan is intact.
When he does spend money, it's got to work.
Yep.
Scherzer worked. Corbin worked. You know, he's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of heavy lifting to do, but at least he's got the vision going.
Yep.
And I say this. If I was watching this playoff trying to envision a James Paxton Robinson Cano-led team trying to beat the Astros or Yankees right now, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Secondarily, 2 years from now, Justin Verlander's going to be 38. Garrett Cole's going to be a Yankee. And Zach Greinke's going to be making $32 million at 37 years old for the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. They're going to be good for a long time, but they're not going to be this.
No.
They're not going to be what you're watching right now.
No.
So 2021, let's circle it. All right, it's time for Fact or Fiction.
It's time for Fact.
Just a fact, Jack. That's a fact, Jack.
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
It is a fact.
Was seizure worthy.
Enough to seize.
Sorry
out
if
right
that
there.
Set anybody off.
Sports Radio KJR brings you Fact or Fiction, presented by the Emerald Queen Casino. Throughout the football season, four times a day, we will be making a pick based on the upcoming college or pro schedule that's either against the spread or the total. You will then have 12 minutes to text the word fact if you agree with the pick made, or fiction if you disagree with the pick made. Here's the thing about this. We're going to give away a $1,000 weekly cash prize. Maybe you're behind in the $10,000 one. The big grand prize at the end of the year.
Right.
So, why wouldn't you play for $1,000? You really only have to be right one time during the week. We had a guy just a couple of weeks ago. Played once.
Once in the entire week.
Won $1,000. So, play. Play regularly. Maybe you'll get on a heater, end up winning the 10 grand, but play regular. Tell your fans, friends, tell your family.
Friends, family, everyone.
Yeah.
All you have to do is text.
Have your baby call.
Well, that's impressive if you do that.
$1,000 weekly prize. We have a random drawing every Monday to determine that winner. All right, so It's my turn to pick.
Oh.
I'm going to go ahead and jump forward on the Thursday game.
Oh.
The Chiefs have a 3.5 game.
Watch it.
If they're not just furious over the way they've played as of late, I'm going Chiefs by 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go Chiefs.
I veto that.
Yeah. 3.5 points. They are favored by on the road in Denver.
It's only three.
Denver's been playing really well defensively. Is it three?
It's only three.
Oh, it's only three. I'll take it. I'll take that extra half.
Yeah.
And so I guess it doesn't matter. Cause
in this contest, because pushes or losses.
Pushes or losses.
So the hook doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's so unfair. It's just setting us up to look stupid.
Yeah.
give me the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to get back on track this week. I can't imagine them losing three games in a row. Tyreek Hill is healthy again. Patrick Mahomes isn't even on the injury list this week. They're going to get a rolling again at the Broncos' expense, and they are going to cover 3 points on the road. So I will take the Chiefs.
I veto.
If you agree, you text FACT to 49451. If you disagree, you text FICTION to 49451. Good luck to you all. The next time you'll have a chance to play is at 11:35 this morning with Jason Puckett and Cliff Averill. We will come back in a moment with a little Reckless at Breakfast for you. It's time to talk trade. SportsRadio950.com.
To celebrate 25 years of welcoming IKEA into your home, IKEA is throwing a party at theirs. Sunday, October 20th, join IKEA Renton for a fun-filled weekend. The first 250 IKEA family members to arrive by 9:30 in the morning receive a mystery gift. Plus, IKEA family members save $25 off a purchase of $150 or more with coupon. This is one house party you won't want to miss. Print coupon at IKEAUSA.com/Renton. Valid only at the IKEA Renton. Other restrictions may apply.
Supply.
Have you ever heard of a thing called Instagram?
I have.
Instagram?
It's Instagram, yes. It's a social media platform, another one of those wonderful things where you get to share with people you know and don't know.
Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
That's what I've been privy to? That's what I've been forced into being a part of?
They're freaking out next door because Jennifer Aniston, now on Instagram.
Oh, wow. Gosh, now, dang. I'm out. Sorry.
Is Insta short for instant or instability?
Instant.
Because I'm pretty sure those...
It could be both.
I think those that use it, it's based on some instability.
Insecurity?
Anyway, I've been doing some videos there as of late. Don't know if you've heard. You clearly haven't watched one. It's called The Four. Yesterday, I went through the... four tight ends that the Seahawks should be after. The four tight ends that the Seahawks should be after. And now that Jalen Ramsey's been traded to the Rams, I think our trade juices are all going again, right? I mean, Seahawks have already made the trade. They've already traded for Jadeveon Clowney. If they don't do anything from now till the trading deadline, we're like, well, nice job, John.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a pat on the back for our guy, John Schneider. But you see another team within your own division trying to improve. You think to yourself, well, what can we do? I think the tight end position has suddenly become an area of concern. With Will Dissly out for the season, I think you can get by with a healthy combination of Luke Wilson, Ed Dixon once he comes back, if he comes back, George Fant, our favorite tight end, and Hollister. I think that, you know, you might be able to gauze this, you know, electric tape this thing together and still not have that be an exposed weakness. But if there's a chance to go out there and improve the position, I don't know if the Seahawks have enough guys going out in pass patterns right now. And if you're going to remove a weapon, like Dissly had become a weapon, Russell looked to Dissly, then I think I'd like to have something better than what we have in the pantry. Okay? So I threw out four different names out there. Number four on my list was O.J. Howard out of Tampa Bay. Young guy, Bucky seems to have fallen out of favor with Bruce Arians. He's throwing to Chris Godwin. He's throwing to Mike Evans, whether he's looking or not. He's really not throwing to a O.J. Howard. And Arians is one of those guys, I think, that once you're in his doghouse, you don't really leave it. He can catch line drive foul balls with his bare hands.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, he did that in a playoff game for the Rays earlier in the postseason. So I think he's a candidate.
I like that.
Comes at a little bit of a cost because he was a first-round pick. But at this point, if they're going to punt on him, I don't think they're going to be asking for a lot in return.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a mid-round draft pick, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, Slick? Yeah, like a fourth.
Number three, if you're looking to give up even less. Like, no. We're not going Ram style here. You know, we need to be sensible. We don't even want to give up a third or fourth round draft pick. We like having our draft picks. Maybe you want to give up a seventh rounder, sixth rounder. Tyler Eifert of the Cincinnati Bengals is catching some balls. I mean, he is a health risk at all times, but he's not making any money. He's on a one-year contract, and he still can catch a football. He's still a big guy. He'll still throw himself in there in the run game. And he's going to come cheap. This is what, where, you know, you're getting him for a soda and some, you know, Cheez-Its.
Wow.
I mean, that's all you might have to give up for Tyler Eifert at this point. So I'll give you him as a possibility. Number two on my list, I'm going to slide him back to two because this is really what I tried to win over the kids with a flashy number one.
Oh, you did?
But I'm going to make him number two on my real list, and that's Gronk. I'm like, why not? I mean, I get what you say. He hadn't really been working out or training. I don't think it's going to take much for a guy 9 months removed from being as accomplished as he was as a tight end to, if you got him now, I think he could be ready by the time you're ready for the playoffs for sure and can contribute to this thing. The guy knows how to play. He's excellent in the run. He's excellent in the pass. He's excellent in the clubhouse. I don't know if the Patriots would even think about trading him, but if he's wanting to play football, and apparently he's not ruled it out, I'm knocking on the door.
He did just rule it out, though.
Well, he's wavered back and forth.
Well, yesterday he said no. He's like, it's not happening.
Who knows? I think that guy's wishy-washy. I think there's a possibility he's wishy-washy. He was like, no, I'm not doing it. And then all of a sudden he's like, this is the first time in my life my mind and body feel good, and so I'm not going to rule anything out. Now all of a sudden he goes and does one time of Fox in the morning.
Yeah,
or Fox,
now he thinks he's a TV star.
Which was really funny. I don't know if you guys watched that. It was really funny.
No, I saw him
funny
on Thursday. I didn't see him on Sunday.
Yeah. Or no, it was last Thursday. Yeah, yeah. He looked nervous and then just started gronking out, just started telling a story.
Let's just put it this way.
Goofy.
Gronk can say, you know what, I don't want to go out tonight. I know it's Friday night, but I want to stay in. And all you'd have to do is go, I'll pay for the first beer. Okay.
Okay.
That's the kind of personality. If Pete Carroll got in front of Rob Gronkowski and said, and pitched him on Seahawks football, he easily could be won back. I don't buy that I'm done for good. I don't buy that for a second.
I agree with you. I will say I think that if he was going to come back, I have a hard time thinking why he wouldn't go back to the team that he's won a bunch of Super Bowls with, other than the fact that maybe
he wants to go play for an organization where you actually get to have fun.
Right. That's a possibility.
All right, my number one guy, Delanie Walker of the Tennessee Titans. He's been 6 feet tall as a tight end. 6 feet tall. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's 4 inches under what you should be.
Right.
But the guy is excellent in the run. He's the kind of guy that you add that brings far more to the table than you ever realize. He can catch the football. He's hungry to win a championship. It's the last thing on his resume, and the Titans are going nowhere. They just changed their quarterback. And I think you could get him for just about nothing, but you do have to take on a salary for the next couple of years. I think Delanie Walker could be a really smart pickup.
All of those I like. The one thing you're missing, none of them are ginger. So you're really not you're really not fixing the problem.
Oh.
You've lost a ginger on the team, folks.
What if I gave Delanie Walker some red fake dye. Eyelashes.
Oh, there you go.
And some freckles.
And some freckles. All right.
It's not sold.
Quite close enough, but we'll take it.
What do you like out of that list?
I like O.J. Howard. Just because he's got a couple years, and you're essentially trying to rent a guy for this season, right? I mean, really. But especially with the way they could kind of patch it together. So I don't want to give up huge resources. So I would go O.J. Howard maybe.
You have to give up more for O.J. Howard than you would Delanie Walker.
So I'm talking money, salary cap wise.
Not me. I'm going Delanie Walker.
I'm going Delanie
for sure.
Walker. Yeah. All right, coming up next, it's the Ocho, 8 stories in 8 minutes on Sports Radio 950.
Live at Twin Peaks, sports and scenic views go hand in hand. Spend halftime indulging in our all-new Smoker Selects, featuring smoked meats cooked low and slow over hickory wood, like the sweet and smoky ribs. Pair this up with a craft beer served at a frosty 29 degrees in a man-sized mug by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl for a legendary meal. And with our wall-to-wall TVs, you'll never miss a play. Get your boss what they really want for Boss's Day, an ice-cold 29-degree draft from Twin Peaks. Happy Boss's Day, Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic.